Ourselves under your mighty hand. Forgive us for our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us draw near to you with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let your word dwell in us richly, O God. Fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, O God, fully pleasing you, O God, and being fruitful in every good work. And by being renewed in the spirit of our minds, that we put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with forgiving one another, O God, that we dwell together in the unity of the faith. O God, that we dwell together, O God, in the unity of the faith. Let me say that again, that we dwell together, O God, in the unity of the faith, recognizing those who labor among us, esteeming them highly in love for their work's sake. I pray that we all speak the same thing, with no divisions among us, O God, standing fast in one spirit, striving together for the faith, that we're not caring about with various and strange doctrines, but we study rightly dividing the word of truth, that we're not murmurers, complainers, walking after our own lust, but are rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. I pray that the whole body be knit and joined together, O God, that every part does its share every part does its share, causing growth, O God, to the body of Christ. As each one of us receives a gift, God, let him minister it, looking out for the interests of another, O God. Let us all verbally love one another with pure hearts, so that we do not lose the things we have worked for. Let us become serious and watchful in our prayers, redeeming the time, for the evil days are near, O God. running with endurance the race that is set before us, O God. Setting our minds on things above and not on things on the earth, but pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of you, O God, putting on the whole armor of you, God, that we may stand against the devil, that we speak forth your word with boldness, and that you will stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your son, Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you for every listener that has tuned in to TKD Global Radio and broadcast, oh, God. May they be blessed, oh, God. Give them an ear to hear, God, a spirit to receive, and a heart, God, that would love and serve you, oh, God, and be able to discern your word. So I thank you, oh, God. So to everything that's under the sound of my voice, thank you for tuning in to TKD Global Radio and broadcast. Glory to God. There is a word in this prophet's mouth to encourage your season. I'll be back in about 2 minutes. KCJ, I absolutely love that song. Glory to God. Listen, thank you for tuning in to TKD Global Radio and broadcast. You know who it is. It's the Kingdom Big Sis, Prophet Lasandra Coleman, the King's Daughter. Oh, my God, I just have so much to just give you on tonight, referring to strongholds. But listen, let me just share something with you that I just posted on all, like, five of my media sites. As of yesterday, if you go on my Facebook page, it's my personal Facebook page, Lasandra Coleman. I put a video up today. What is in is inaccurate with something that happened to me yesterday when I was at work. Prophets and apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists. I'm telling you, God is doing some new things, and I'm telling you, I had to make a decision last night. Not concerning church, y'all, and things, not necessarily concerning church, but I want to explain it to my global audience in detail, because if you tuned in, and I'm grateful for the amount of people that tunes in on Relationship Monday and Work the Word Thursday. I'm grateful, because you don't have to, and you do, And I'm grateful because, you know, God has really blessed me with this online blog talk that a lot of people listen to literally across the world. And I'm not bragging. I started doing this in 2011. I stopped for a while. I came back, and the numbers were still there. And so, you know, and to God be all the glory, because I haven't changed. I haven't changed, you know. I'm still just as raw and, you know, just as focused as I was then. It's just now, it's just with more wisdom. Anyway, before I get into strongholds, let me share with you global fans, especially my African family. Let me just give out some states. I see you guys. Georgia, I see you. ATL, I see you. Nebraska, I just realized who you guys were, and people calling from different area codes. Some of you is like 2 in the morning in certain places. Alabama, Tennessee, I see you. South Carolina, North Carolina, I see you in the house. Louisiana, let me just make sure. North Carolina, I see you in the house because they always see you. You didn't say nothing. Washington State, Washington, D.C., I see you in the house. California, thank you. You're always loyal. I think I said this, my home state, Alabama. You guys always hold it down for me, and I'm grateful for that. Ohio, I see you. The Lou. St. Louis, I see you. Missouri, you in the house. Glory to God. There's more. I don't know who all log in. I just kind of go by a few numbers that I see, and I don't see all the numbers and things of that nature. The chat room is open, so if you have a question you don't want to ask online, just feel free to go in the chat room, and you can, you know, use your alias name. I'm not into, you don't have to use your name if you don't want to, and things of that nature, but just use your alias name, and we'll take it from there. Anyway, yesterday I was in my office, and most of you know I'm a realtor here in Maryland. And I'm sitting there, and I turn my computer off, and I'm just sitting there. I mean, I'm just sitting there. I'm not even sure why I'm just sitting there. And so the Lord literally translated me from where I was sitting, and you'll see this on my Twitter, Facebook, and IG. He literally translated me from where I was sitting to the top of a tide. I tried to Google a picture so I can kind of make sense in the natural. It was like a really big water, like a tide, and a tide was coming into a city and things of that nature. And I was on top of the tide, you know. I mean, to the point, like I said in my video, you know, I can smell the water, you know. And no, I wasn't on a surfboard. I'm just riding the tide easily, you know, no fear, no nothing. And I'm going into the city, and like I said, no fear and no nothing. And I can hear the voice of the Lord while I'm on this tide, while I'm on this huge tide of water. I knew it wasn't going to hurt the city, although it looked like it can, but I knew even in the spirit it wasn't going to hurt the city. God said, I am going to cleanse the vessels for greater use. That's what that's what God said to me in that translated moment. That's what God said to me. He said, I'm going to cleanse the vessels for greater use. So as the tide is riding in and all this, you know, it happened very quickly. As I'm riding in on the tide of water that's about to wash the city, a demon, a demonic spirit. I, you know, and it was a really huge one out of my entire faith walk and dealing with and deliverance and dealing with demonic spirits and things of this nature. Never seen one with that kind of stance. And of course, it was pure black. Of course, he was pure or whatever was pure black. And it was really huge, and I'm like, dang, that's a huge demon. And even then, I wasn't scared. But what got me was the demon said, as I'm riding in, and I know it's hard for some of you to believe this, but I'm telling you, this is the God-given truth. The demon said, as I was riding in, he said, they are blind and they are already filled. He said, they are blind and they are already filled. If you read the Gospels, if you read the New Testament, Mark, Luke, Matthew, John, if you read the Gospels, anytime Jesus did something in a city, notice that the ignorant Pharisees and Sadducees, all those kind, they were too busy trying to be important. But notice who always knew who Jesus was first. It was always the demons. That's why he always told them to shut up, be quiet, or muzzle them. He didn't cast them all out the region, but he would tell them to be quiet and things of that nature. And so in this translated moment, I immediately knew that the demon knew what the water was coming, and he was guarding the region like, it ain't happening here. And so when he said they are blind and already filled, my heart sunk, you know. And so the Lord took me out of the supernatural moment and back to my desk. Let me tell y'all something. And, you know, I even put this on Facebook because I had to sit in that real estate office. I just sat there, and it took everything I had not to just scream and speak in tongues. So I pulled myself together. I mean, you know, I don't know if you ever felt your insides heat up. My insides were just heating up, and I just went to the bathroom, and I'm like, my God. And I just wanted to go home and go to my prayer floor. And I knew I had to go to Bible study and things like that, but, you know, I say, my God. So I began to just pray in the bathroom. And just begin to speak in tongues. You know, I end up leaving the office, and I couldn't sit there any longer. I was completely zoned out. I got in my car, you know, I went home, and, you know, I had to cook dinner, and I'm just still just kind of zoned out. Spoke to my husband about it. He said, you know, just go ahead and pray and just do what God's telling you to do. And my spirit was so sorrowful. I can't remember the last time that my spirit felt so heavy for God's people, felt so sorrowful, you know. And so, you know, I go to Bible study, and I was there, but I really wasn't there. And, man, when I came home, I couldn't wait to get in my prayer room. And I just, you know, I had to make a decision. I said, God, you know, I don't want to be caught up in mess. You know, I've seen ministers live. They get bought by religious people and these fake leadership, and, you know, they get talked out of what you call them. So, you know, they started out right, but then they get switched over by phoniness and a form of godliness, and, you know, these seasoned leaders who at some point did start out right, but then they became greedy, they became money hungry, and they left the real assignment, and they started just doing things that was pleasing to their soul. They started doing ministry just them, and they forgot about the kingdom. And I said, God, you know, I don't want to die like that. I don't want to be that kind of minister. So whatever I got to give up, you know, I'm telling you, I made this decision last night. I said, God, whatever I got to give up, so be it. I just want to serve you. And my heart gets heavy when I see God's people being used and manipulated. You know, I tell the prophets today, you know, just in this season, grow a backbone. There's too many people being manipulated. You know, people get elevated because of their last name and who they know and things of that nature, forgetting the real people that God calls to use, the one that may have come up from the gutter. I mean, God using the rich people too, but I'm just saying, when do we come to the place, where it's truly about the kingdom, where it's truly about the kingdom? I mean, I'm just going to say this because since last night, I just declared and decreed something in atmosphere, and I made God a promise. I'm just his. I'm his. And at this point, I don't care who it costs me. I don't. And I don't care what it costs me. I'm his because I'm sick of the prostitution in the church. That's why people laugh at the church and make fun of the church, because we're not walking in unity. And we're not walking in unity because there's too much underhand stuff going on. You know, the church can't stand together as a whole because she's divided within herself. And you got to understand the real prophets of God, this kind of thing make us very, very sore in the spirit, because we teach and preach kingdom. Glory to God. We want to see the unity in the body of Christ. And some of these preachers just need to just sit down, go get a job, stop using God's people, you know, stop with these word games, because here's what's about to happen. Something about to hit your city, and you fake non-anointed preacher, you ain't scaring nobody, because your church about to be just you know, going up in a flame. Why? Because it's your church. You're not even letting God in, and folks on their way to hell, you don't even care, as long as they bring their tithe. And this bothers me so much. It bothers me so much. And I said, God, because I don't have an Elijah complex. I know if it's in my spirit like this, some of you have got to be going in this same direction. There has got to be some other prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists and ministers. You got to be feeling this as well. But then they're not saying anything because they want to be elevated. They want folks to like them. You scared somebody going to delete you off their Facebook. You scared they're going to throw you out the group. So who cares? When does it become about God? When does it become about the kingdom? When does it become about the ultimate assignment? The ultimate assignment, glory to God, is to win souls to the kingdom. Amen. To heal the sick, glory to God, to preach the gospel to the pure, to the poor. This is our ultimate assignment, not to manipulate the church for a jaguar, not to be pimping people in the church, not to be sleeping around, you know, touching the girls and the gold, glory to God, not about this mess you call in church, and you wonder why it don't grow, because it's yours, it has nothing to do with God. Stop putting our holy God name on your prostitution mess. Glory to God, I'm telling y'all, we have to come to the place where we just doing it for all the right reasons. We got to stop manipulating God, people. Let me tell you, when I made this decision last night, I'm telling you, since last night to now, you know, it's fun. I think I've been deleted by a couple of people. Let me just say this. Thank you. You just saved me the time. Thank you. So I'm grateful you did that for me. You know, you don't realize you're doing me a favor. Because we're in a time where we have to stop doing these things. Why? Because people are in demonic situations. They have strongholds on their life, and they're not getting loose because the people that have the authority to speak in their life is not free. Bottom line. So all that garbage is being put out there. God is about to rein that stuff in. So I want to get into what I'm talking about tonight because I want to talk about stronghold. I just feel in my spirit some of y'all on this line right now. Listen. If you know you're not being manipulative, if you know you're not out there doing nothing crazy and you know it's God, you better go to God. I'm not saying walk out of order. That is not what TKD is saying. I'm not saying, go to church on Sunday and do something crazy towards your leadership. No, I'm not saying that. And don't be out of order. But don't be manipulated either. Don't sit there and be manipulated either. Glory to God. Anyway, so I want to share it because that's like my second experience this year, and we're only 5 months into the year. I mean, I see angels all the time. I talk to God every day. I'll just tell them, them on something I was speaking on. I say, God talks every day. God is one person who can out-talk a woman. Sometimes he just want to talk to us. And all of a sudden people say, I can't hear God. Really? Because he's always talking. If you can't hear God, what is it he has to filter through? What is it he has to filter through so you can hear him? Is it logic? Is it being analytical? Have you stopped with your ears? Are you hearing man more than you want to hear him? Are you praying? Are you in the word? Because he do want to talk to you. God does not have to talk to a prophet to talk to you. He wants to talk directly to his children, like any good father. Glory to God. Let's get into this lesson. I have something I want to get to you tonight because I want to talk about spiritual warfare, and I want to talk about dealing with strongholds because this is in my spirit all day. And Romans 13:12, and I want you to write down the scriptures that I'm giving you, because some of you are in some things and you don't realize those things you're in are not the root. They are just a manifestation of what's going on with you. Romans 13:12 says, "The night is far spent," and this is not the King James Version. Romans 13:12. "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Now, in this message, I'd like to talk about how you can pull down strongholds that Satan has built in your lives. And I would like to also talk about the kind of stronghold that we can build that would not allow Satan to gain any kind of foothold in our lives. Because you have to be careful what doors you leave cracked. Amen? Because the Bible says a little leaven, a whole lump. And so when you leave certain places cracked in your life that you may have been set free from, you give Satan an opportunity to step his whole foot in there. And so, it is time for us to cast off the works of darkness and to walk in the armor of light and not giving place to the devil. And too many Christians have allowed the devil to have a foothold in their lives. And we some have let him have free reign to harass, oppress, and to bring them into bondages that God desires them to walk in a freedom to. So God should be our rock and our stronghold, but the problem is too many have allowed the enemy to control the strongholds. Write these scriptures down, 2 Samuel 22:1-2 and 2 Corinthians 10 4-6. I'm going to read them, but I want you to write them down so you can always go behind what I'm talking about, and you know, so you'll know that this is in the Word. 2 Samuel 22:1-2. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. On the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer." 2 Corinthians 10:4-6 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought," did you hear me, "bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So let me just give you this. All right, prophet, what are strongholds? Well, the Old Testament definition, in the Old Testament, a stronghold was a fortified dwelling used as a means of protection for an enemy. And we find that David hid from King Saul in the wilderness strongholds of Horesh. That's in 1 Samuel 23:14 and 19 as well. And then you'll find that. And these were physical structures, usually caves high on a mountainside, and were very difficult. These caves were very, very difficult to assault. And it was his imagery in mind that the inspired writers of the biblical of the Bible adapted the word stronghold to define powerful, vigorously protected spiritual realities. And so a stronghold can be a source of protection for us from the devil, as in the case when the Lord becomes our stronghold, as it did for David. Now, controversially, a stronghold can be a source of defense for the devil's influence in some of the Christians' lives, where demonic or sinful activity is actually defended, see the opposite, within our thoughts towards evil. Write this down, Romans 6:16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? So a stronghold can work either way depending on who you have presented yourself as a slave to. You can be a slave to good. You can be a slave to evil. And so I want to give you that so you'll know, so you have a good portrait of stronghold. Now, the Apostle Paul's definition of stronghold is this. The Apostle Paul defines stronghold as speculations or lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God. It is any type of thinking that exalts itself above, like I said, the knowledge of God, thereby giving the devil a secure place of influence in an individual's thought life, okay? And I gave you the 2 Corinthians 10:5, where we said, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Now, there are I had another definition, but I'm just going to hold off on that. Romans 6:6, I want to give you this, so just write that down. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and this is all going to make sense in a minute, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So it is important to recognize, people, that when we speak of strongholds, we're not talking about random thoughts or occasional sins. We are talking about areas in your life that you are in bondage to, and areas that you're having a hard time breaking loose from. That's why they're called strongholds. And so how strongholds take root is, in order to fully understand how to pull down strongholds, it is first important that we understand how it is they first take root in our lives. So here we go, my first point. Number one, strongholds come from worldly influence. Here's a reference for you, 1 John 5:19. So number one is strongholds come from a worldly influence. Thank you for tuning in into the chat. I see you will take questions from that in just a moment. So write that down. Strongholds come from worldly influence. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Now, many strongholds are a result of accumulation of uncrucified thoughts and unsanctified attitudes that have ruled our lives during our formative years. As children, you know, growing up in the world that is under influence and the sway of the enemy, we receive a steady stream of information and experience that continually shape our childhood perceptions. And this is why the Bible says our minds need to be renewed once we are born again of God's Spirit. So the amount of love or the lack of love in our home, our cultural environment, peer values and pressures, as well as fears of rejection and exposure, even our physical appearance and intelligence all combine to form our sense of identity and our view of life. So many of our opinions about life are ours only because we know of no other way to think. So yet we protect and defend our ideas, just our opinions, as though they were born in the womb of our own creativity. Proverbs 23:7 says this, "For as a man thinketh, so as he is." So this is how we are formed into those things. So in other words, the essence of who we are is an acclimation of our thought life. Did you hear me? The very essence of who we are is an accumulation of our thought life. For example, many of our thoughts and opinions were shaped by our parents and school teachers. As good people as they may have been, if their opinions were not God's, then they were wrong. Ooh, probably that's kind of harsh, but it's true. Isaiah 55:7 says this, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways." So we have a mindset that has been shaped by our environment, by our parents, by our educators, as well as ungodly environment in which we live. So as Christians, the only truth soon before eternity is the truth of Christ. And if we fail to realize this, we will be like our teacher, never doing more than the deed of our fathers. So when we come to Christ, all of that we are in nature and character is destined to change. We're taking common strongholds. And now here is common strongholds many, many people deal with. I know when I'm operating in deliverance and things of that nature, I've seen these lists of strongholds that people deal with. And just because we are Christians does not exempt us from having strongholds that must be dealt with. It does not. I don't know how people think, I'm a Christian, so I'm not dealing with it. Well, these strongholds have to be dealt with. And there are still many strongholds within a whole lot of us Christians. So I have listed a few strongholds that are common, and those that I have dealt with when it comes to many of the saints. Some of them are fear, resentment, bitterness. Oh my God, the bitterness, and it usually goes back to lineage. What your mom did, what your dad did, what your grandma did. Unforgiveness, and that's a really strong one. Unforgiveness will keep you, I don't care how much you sow, how much you tithe, unforgiveness will be a sure ticket to hell because your perception can be completely thrown off because of unforgiveness. It was wrong what they did to you, but if you don't learn how to forgive them, the unforgiveness will control you for the rest of your life and keep you from being in places where God wants you to be. Unbelief, depression, those are some of the strongholds. Anxiety, oh my God. Some of the people, they just scared. Just anxiety just take them over. I mean, they start getting nervous. You know, they start sweating for no reason. You know, claustrophobia, things like that are all signs, you know, are like cousins to the anxiety stronghold. Lukewarmness is another stronghold. Some people, when they are dealing with a spirit of inferiority, they are lukewarm because they don't want to offend nobody. And they always think somebody else is better than they are, which is just really a lie from the pit of hell. We all are made different, but ain't nobody out there better than you. We all just have different assignments. God gave every man a measure, and we have to deal with the measure that has been dealt to us. And so when I find lukewarmness, I can also find that spirit spirit of inferiority in full effect. Another stronghold, sinful thoughts. You know, you're not going to hell for a sinful thought. You just need to know how to cast it down, because that's what the Bible talking about, having a certain knowledge, trying to override, amen, the knowledge of Christ. Another one is lust. Another one is pride. Glory to God. It's nothing like being under somebody, a leader in your home, you know, and things in it, or a leader in your church or on your job. When they operate in pride, they don't even see it. It's everybody under their feet, and they're always playing word games. You know, they are never wrong about anything. God forbid they actually wrong about something. They'll just take what they've been wrong about, twist it, trying to twist your head up to convince you that they are right. I mean, just pride. You know, another one is greed. Another one is drugs. Another one is alcohol. Another one is pornography. And, you know, when I encounter these spiritual people and things of that nature, it's just a manifestation of the stronghold that has gripped your life. And because we all have a tendency to excuse ourselves so readily, it is difficult to discern the areas of oppression in someone's life. After all, these are thoughts. Our attitudes, our perceptions, we justify and defend our thoughts with the same degree of intensity with which we justify and defend ourselves. Because as a man thinks, so is he. Therefore, before any deliverance can truly be accomplished, we must honestly recognize and confess our need. That's why always when I pray with people and things of that nature, and the Holy Spirit brings something to my attention, I tell them what it is, so they can recognize it, because you cannot bring a person to deliverance that's in denial. Let me say it again. A person will not come to deliverance that's in denial. Okay? Now, when identifying your strongholds, survey or examine the attitudes in your heart. Every area you're thinking that glistens with hope in God is an area which is being liberated by Christ. And any system of thinking that does not have hope, which feels hopelessness, or is a stronghold which must be what? Pulled down. Here's another one, another principle. Faith principles for pulling down strongholds. Let me give you faith principles for pulling down strongholds. If you haven't written down already, write down 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. If you haven't written it down already, just write that. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down strongholds, casting out arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I know I keep reading it. We bring our thoughts into captivity to Christ. That's the point. Write that down. We bring our thoughts into captivity to Christ. Jesus Christ is a model of what God considers typical for the new creation man. He is not just our Savior. He is the indwelling one who conforms us to his image, the firstborn of the family of all glorious sons. So when our thought life is in agreement with unbelief, fear, or habitual sin, the enemy has reset and seeks out those places that are in harmony with his environment. This is why he should find nothing in you. Therefore, we must learn to look objectively at any thoughts or attitudes that fail to conform to the likeness and teachings of Jesus. Those thoughts must be captured and captured in wrong attitudes, crucified. You have to crucify them. I mean, you just can't let them just dwell and things of that nature. You have to crucify those thoughts by the word. And we must make way in us for the coming of the Lord. We must allow the increase of his government to expand until we are so absorbed into his spirit that we not only believe in him, we believe like him. Did you hear me? Believing in him is not going to be enough. We have to believe like him. His love, thoughts, and desires flows out from within us. So to bring down or cast down the stronghold of our past experience, we must let God be found true and every man a liar. So if a person is really not speaking the word of God, Lord knows, and truly don't have the heart of God, and you feel that thing rising up in you and things of this nature, you have to be even desire what you're sitting under. Romans 3 and 4 says, certainly not indeed. Let God be true and every man be a liar. As it is written, that ye may be justified in words and may overcome when you are judged. Come on, somebody. Now, the only one who has the right to shape our lives in Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. And we must determine to allow nothing and no one to shape us. I mean, not even our personal experiences, unless they are consistent with the promises of God, you know. If we are not healed, a stronghold of unbelief could set in. Did you hear me? But you bring your thoughts into conformity with God's thoughts. The stronghold will break and faith will come forth. And if we have a problem with a brother or a sister in the faith, and forgiveness is not enacted, bitterness and resentment will fetter in. And I'm telling you, folks, don't be in denial about that, because that's how you give Satan a foothold in your life. Write this down, the next nugget. Obedience brings us into strongholds of Christ's likeness. Okay? Write that down. Obedience brings us into stronghold of Christ's likeness. The Father's goal in breaking the stronghold in our lives is much more than just like simply seeing our burdens of the devil taken off our back. The specific purpose toward God steers the working of all things in our lives is our conformity to the image of his Son. Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be found firstborn among brethren. Oh, Lord, how I love the word. Now, the way to realize God's ultimate victory is to reach towards his ultimate goal, which is complete transformation into the likeness of Christ. We must recognize that this is not you that the devil is afraid of. It's not you. I mean, you can cry with snot coming out your nose. You can holler. You can throw F-bombs. Satan cares about that. What he's afraid of is the Christ in you. That's his only fear, the Christ that's in you. Then you become a weapon. Then you become the kind of believer that when you get up in the morning, you're like, oh, Lord, he up. Oh, Lord, she up. That's when you become a weapon for the kingdom of God, when Christ dwells in you. Amen? And victory begins with the name of Jesus on our lips. It is consummated by the nature of Jesus in our hearts. And if you are truly troubled by fear and resentment and depression and sin thoughts and lukewarmness or whatever, submit those areas to God. Repent him of your unbelief and then yield yourself to God's faith. I mean, you know, yield yourself to Christ's faith within you. I mean, are you troubled by, think about it, you know, what are you really troubled by? Shame, lust. Present those things and those areas of sin to God. And repentant of the old nature, drawn upon the forgiveness of Christ, his purity of heart. I'm telling you, God, repentance can do wonders for your life, and the grace of God does not wear out. People often think that, you know, I did this wrong thing, and God ain't mad at you. But you have to repent. You have to repent, and you have to walk in the grace. Satan is not going to flee because, you know, we tell him to flee. No, we have to submit ourselves to God. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Most people just tell the devil, leave me alone and flee me in the name of Jesus. Okay, well, have you submit yourself under the mighty hand of God first? Because we must learn that on a personal level, it is better to develop godly virtues than to spend our day praying against the devil. You know, it is the joy of the Lord that defeats depression. That thing you start trying to come up in you, just start singing unto the Lord. Just start laughing. You know, it is living a life of faith that destroys unbelief. It is an aggressive love that casts out fear. Amen? And so as we continually yield ourselves to Christ, surrendering ourselves by faith to his nature and his word, we literally build the impenetrable stronghold of his presence around us. Oh, my God. And the way into the fortress of the Almighty is simple. Victory begins with the name of Jesus on our lips. Glory to God. And it is consummated by the nature of Jesus in our heart. Somebody say, I got to go deep with Jesus. Glory to God. And so, whoo, Jesus. So the last nugget I want to give you for tonight is number 3. Because you're dealing with strongholds. You don't have to have strongholds in your life that's defeating you. You do not have to stay in that place. The last nugget for the night is this. Write it. Building a stronghold on Christ's likeness involves a struggle. Building a stronghold of Christ's likeness involves a struggle. The process of getting free of worldly and fleshly strongholds involves a season of inner conflict and turmoil. This is a good sign, though, because it's signifying the desire of your will to be free. And we should expect a time where we must exercise our authority in Christ as we resist the devil. 1 Peter 5:9 says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Glory to God. So, because as we continue to yield ourselves to Christ, he will remove Satan's armor from our mind. He will show us what we need to bring down, and you will see the weapons of your warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And some people say, oh, I'm always fighting. Well, the sign of always fighting means Satan have not won you over. so you're like, Lord, I am in a fight. Well, you know what? May God continue to strengthen you, because that means that you have not been won over. Glory to God. And so we are in a season where there is so much going on. Glory to God. You don't have to give in. You don't have to give in to Satan ways, whatever it is. Even if you have depression, tonight I just, amen, release you into the Holy Spirit, and that is broken off your life. If you are dealing with lust, it's broken off your life. If you are dealing with lukewarmness, amen, by the authority of Holy Spirit, it's broken off your life. If you are dealing with molestation and unforgiveness, it's broken off your life. If you are dealing with depression, amen, by in the name of Jesus, it's broken off your life, amen, tonight. We cast down anything to try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. All strongholds must submit themselves to the authority of Christ that's within us. So, God, we thank you that tonight that we are free and we are delivered, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Our home is set free, God. There is no spirit of depression, no suicidal spirit, God, that's your flood, Father God, any listener on this line right now, in the name of Jesus, God, we are set free. And there is no evil stronghold that's going to bind us, that tonight we are set free, oh God, to do all that you call us to, oh God. We desire, oh God, we are hungry. We give our will completely over to you, oh God. Have your way in our lives. We are yours, God, wherever our feet may tread. Let the peace abound, God, with us, God, and bringing peace into the lives of others. God, we give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory. Glory to God. If you're on this line and you have any questions, glory to God, this is a great time to ask any question that you may have. Glory to God. I'm going to open the line. And whatever it is, or if you just need prayer, feel free to go ahead and ask your question right now. Glory to God. Do we have any? Amen. Amen. Someone's in the chat room. Glory to God. And amen. Glory to God. Amen. Sister, let me just ask you a question. Amen. Don't give up on your child. Amen. We're going to cover him in prayer. Glory to God. Don't give up on him as a mother. Don't give out on him. Glory to God. The assignment that was spoken on his life. Let me tell you the best thing about God. That assignment does not change. It doesn't matter what he's out there doing. So, God, we just thank you right now, God. We just plead the blood of Jesus over his life. Amen. Oh, she said, call his name. We just plead the blood of Jesus over the life of Jason, wherever he may be right now, God, Lord, that you just speak to him in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, we just pray that he's safe, oh God. And the word that was prophesied over his life, Lord, Lord, let it burn within his spirit, even right now, while his mother, God, is just praying on his behalf. God, we come together as a community, God. We speak to the very mindset of Jason, oh God. Jason, we speak to you. You are love and you are not lost. God has not given up and given out on you. Your mother has not given up and given out on you. Lord, we just pulled him back right now, Father God. We just pulled him back in the name of Jesus, oh God. We pulled him back, oh God. Lord, even let his sleep be disturbed wherever he is, oh God. Let him, Father God, come back to his first love, oh God. Let him return to his first love, oh God. And Lord, just everything that's going on in his mind, let the chaos just even start right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes, he shall live and he shall not die. Thank you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. My, my, my. Hallelujah. Go ahead, sister, praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hey, yes. Woo, Jesus, listen. I thank all of you right now in the name of Jesus. Glory, glory to God. Go to Facebook, to TKD, Global Radio, and broadcast and like this, the broadcast. And if you would like to be a guest on this show, glory to God, go to the TKD and Global Broadcast page. Inbox me. Let me know what your story is, glory to God. You have a word for the global audience? Let me know. Glory to God. Let me know. Amen. Let's see how we can get you on our global broadcast. I'm truly thankful for all the guests that tune in. Listen, every demonic assignment has been broken. You are not bound by your past. Because whom the Son set free is free indeed. Thank you for tuning in. TKD Global Radio on broadcast. I love you. But God loves you so much more. Go forth. Go forth. Go forth. And you are free, because whom the Son set free is free indeed. You know who it is. Your big sis, TKD. Have a blessed night.